Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
Psalm 139. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Praise God for the creation of you. Now we're going to look primarily at this verse, but I want to actually even take the context down just a little further. We're basically going to camp on the words, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we're going to just kind of look at those two things and just see the significance of God's creation. And may God just cause us and call us and refresh us to give Him our sincerest praise for the people He has made us to be. First of all, see the significance of you and others as we understand this truth from God's Word. See that significance, the value of it, the specialness of it. He says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you think about fear, sometimes it has a basically negative connotation, things we fear, but it also means to have respect for things that we know are powerful and significant. Yesterday morning, when I first stepped outside of the house, I put my boots on, and I know that there was some ice and there's some snow, and my first steps out onto our walkway in front of our house, I was very careful with my first steps, kind of try it. How slick is it? Is there any frozen ice underneath that covering of snow? Well, there's nothing particularly scary about snow and ice, but I have had previous experience on snow and ice to know that if you don't hit it just right, you will pay some consequences. So it's just paying the due respect as I take my first steps on the icy sidewalk because I know how significant that could be. Well, as we step into this passage of God and we consider that we are the product of His hand, that we are His creation, we treat it with all due respect and reverence. We treat that with the significance that it is. He says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And we've already read verse 13. He says, when you formed my inward parts, the parts that you can't even see. Now, you understand, this is a long time even before the time of Christ. So that being the case, we're going back in time to where so much of what you and I know about this creation of us, our humanity, our physicality, our bodies, and all that that entails, there's certainly still mysteries about us. But even what limited knowledge he had, he understood the wonders of us. And for you and I who have this wealth of information about the humankind, we should even be more praising him. But I want to just break this into three parts just to remind us. He says, take the significance of this, understand it, and then express this out in how you treat other people. The significance that you are fearfully made, that you are made in a way that is worthy of our respect because this is reality. First of all, we need to understand that life is an absolute gift by God Himself to us. It's a gift. God is the only one who could gift that kind of a gift to us. Life does not spontaneously generate from non-life. That's been one of the basic proven things that is just true. You cannot create life from non-life. So we understand that God created everything. That's what the Bible is very, very non-bashful to describe to us. And when it comes to us as humans, us as the creatures of the ultimate of His creation that He put on this planet, in this earth, that we are a gift from God. He gifted us with life. We are full of amazing things. And the more we know about that, and we oftentimes flash to the physical, and that's amazing. For instance, did you know that your brain, I only know this because I have good sources to look up, the brain contains 86 billion nerve cells joined by 100 trillion different connections. And that is more than the stars in the entire galaxy that we live in, packed into your brain. Sometimes I'm tempted to say, why don't we use more of those connections than we do? But nonetheless, they are there. Very significant. Also, you understand that there's this code built into us, and to be able to even perceive this and conceive of this in our minds is difficult. But there's a genetic code that's built into all of us. It contains so much information, excuse me, that someone has estimated. If you took all this information and tried to transcribe it, if you had somebody who could type it 60 words per minute Working eight hours a day would take more than 60 years of typing just to get all that information that's contained in every one of our cells that makes the pattern of us. So when David mentions that you're forming me in the inward parts and putting me together, this was a gift that only God could give. We often think in terms of the physical, and that is amazing in itself. We understand the amazing of that. But you also understand that there is a part of us that is not physical. There is an immaterial part to us. Now, we have a hard time perceiving of that with our own senses because we have spent the entirety of our lifetime encased in the physicality of our own bodies. But we also understand there's that part of us which is immaterial, the soul, the spirit, if you will, that part that exists and continues on after the body can no longer support life. You understand this, and think of the significance of this. For your parents or your ancestors or you as a parent, or if God would give you that joy someday, that every person that has ever been conceived will exist for eternity. You see, when God took this little gathering of dust and fashioned it in the form of Adam, and it says he breathed into him and he became a living soul, God imparted to humanity through our first father and the mother who was taken from his side and fashioned and brought to him as his wife, there was that part that God transmitted eternality. Now you understand, and I understand in theological terms and what we know from the Bible, that is eternal existence. It could be either eternal death or eternal life, depending on where that person stands before the Lord on the basis of how they've responded to the invitation of Christ. That's a tenet of our faith. We understand that as scriptural. But to exist forever, there is no such thing as soul annihilation. There is no end. So when he says, we are fearfully made, that's not just physical. That's not just these amazing bodies and this amazing process that brought us into existence. But it is brought into an eternal existence. We are fearfully, you are fearfully made. We could add to that, life also has a divine purpose. This is not just some accident. You think of where we would be, and there's so many people in our world today, you understand that. You've had some contact and run-in with people who have a belief system, a worldview that just believes that we're all here through some cosmic accident. In other words, we just live and then we die. There is no eternal existence. There is no God. There is no purpose. There is no design. It's just suddenly we're just here. And you can make that as positive a sounding as you want to make it. Well, while we're here, let's make the world better. Let's treat each other well. Let's accomplish something. But isn't that rather dreadful to think that there's no purpose, there's no God, there's no beyond, there's no meaning to it all? It's just sort of, don't believe any of that for a moment. You are here because God made you. You are fearfully, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's part of his doing. It's part of his doing. And we understand that we see the significance of that because we are fearfully made. He understands, he continues the thought in 15 and 16 of this sort of prenatal experience. He says, your frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they were written. The days were fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. There was a purpose here. There was a plan here. He says, even before my substance was formed, before that my body was completely brought to bear. And you think of the amazing thing. Next time you see a little baby, just kind of look at a miracle. We are, aren't we? Or next time you hear the news that someone is with child, the miracle of it all. You think of what goes on in that process. From the time, and of course it takes a mother and a father, and you understand that basic bit of biology. But from a fertilized egg to 9 months later, when a fully developed baby is born, that individual conceived in the eternality and all that, but on the physical level, that baby has increased in weight 9 billion times from its origin. It can now fully function. Within 18 days, a heartbeat is detectable in that process. Within 21 days, it's pumping its own blood through its own closed circulatory system, has its own blood type. Within 28 days, the eyes and the ears and the respiratory system are forming. By 42 days, brain waves are recorded, and the skeleton is complete, and reflexes are present. And on it goes in this amazing process. And that's what he's talking about in 15 and 16. And he brings us back to this reality that this is all part of God's purpose. And notice what he says in verse 15. I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That fearfulness and that fearfully made means that God completely handcrafted you to be the masterpiece of his creative order. Now, you might say, I look in the mirror this morning and I didn't see much of a masterpiece looking back at me, okay? Well, you understand what we as a society and we as a culture view as, oh, that's beautiful or that's an attractive trait or that's bad. For the most part, that is all cultural. You take what the most beautiful man and the most beautiful woman looks like in our culture, you go to another culture and it might be 180 degrees with the features that someone would say is beautiful in another culture. And you understand, the significance is not what we look like. The significance is not, in fact, we should just be excited and enjoy the variety. Wouldn't it be boring if we all looked the same? Because, you know, then you might be afraid which one of us we'd all look like. That might be a little scary too, I don't know. But we are individual, handcrafted, individual, designed by God, totally unique. And that's what makes our significance. Now, he said in verse 14, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I just want to give you a couple praise suggestions, if I could. Number one, we need to just praise him consistently over these things. Sometimes we are so dissatisfied with ourselves. Why am I like this? Why can't I do this? Why is that? And sometimes it's just age. You know, I can't do what I used to do, and it's frustrating, and I wish I could. And, well, part of that is to, I think, just sort of get us homesick for our real home. That we're not. This is not the permanent. Praise God for that. Someday we're going to be redeemed from all this. But just find some reason consistently every day to praise him for what he's done to you and what he has made you to be. Hey, if you open your eyes, there's another day. It's a gift from God. There's people that you can interact, things that you can do. And to understand that somehow in God's eternal plan, I'm connected. I have a place. I have a role. You fit into God's scope and plan. That's your significance. And lift your voice and praise him for that. It will not only be pleasant to the ears of God, but it'll be a little bit refreshing to our souls as well to just reconnect with his truth. And just do it with your voice. Do it with your voice. Find some way to brag on God every day. And make it as personal and close to you as possible. And offer him your sincerest praise and give him your blessing. He does that throughout this psalm and so many of the psalms. And by the way, one of the things you might just want to do is just open one of the psalms, one of the praise psalms, and just praise God along with the writer and the author. Just use God's words back to him and praise him and see the significance of you. It's a great thing to do. Now, I want to camp more on the second word that you see in verse 14 that we're going to highlight. For you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a very significant word. We looked at hased last time, and I'm not going to try to pronounce this particular Hebrew word. I've actually practiced, and I still don't think I can say it decently properly, so I'm going to leave it at that. But it's a very interesting word that almost exclusively is attached to things God does. So when he says, I am wonderfully made, that means it is so wow that only God could pull it off. We maybe would say it this way. I am specifically, wonderfully, individually handcrafted, God's master designed piece to be the person I am to be. And it is something that is so amazing and so out of bounds and so out there, only God could do this. You see, we need to see the miraculous in God's work in creating us, and we need to see the miraculous in God creating other people as well. You see, anybody that you can know and see, and anybody you've ever known and could relate to, every one of them, because they are a product of God's hands, it doesn't mean they're maybe good people or even saved people, but it does mean they are significant people. Because they are a walking, talking, breathing, living, being miracle of God. You see, God does not mass produce humans. God handcrafts us and superintends this process. So when he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, you could almost say that you are fearfully and miraculously, divinely, God-touched made. Now, there's a word that normally is used for wondrous or wonderfully. And the word that appears here is a slight variation on the common word. And the way you would do it in English to try to make some sense from going from language to language, it's sort of, you take the word and you kind of divide the word out and you would put like an apostrophe in it. It kind of like makes it a little bit, that like kind of separates the word into syllables, if that makes any sense. And it is that, it is the word that makes a little distinction here. The particular word is a slight variation on the word wonderful, and it puts it in this category, if we could say it this way. It is, we are wonderfully in a separate category of wonderfully made. Now, I have struggled trying to do this in English. I have a hard time enough trying to understand it somewhat in Hebrew. But basically, it's just like he takes language and just takes it to the absolute superlative of language. He says, we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. In fact, it is so wonderful that this is a category of separate wonderfulness. I'm now out of words to say how wonderfully, special, uniquely, significantly, miraculously made by God we are. Now, what do we do with that? Well, first of all, we need to look at ourselves differently than we often do. We first of all need to see that our strengths are packed into us by God for His glory. The things that you can do, the things that you are gifted to do, the things that you are talented to do, the things that you have abilities to do, and you understand that was uniquely selected at your conception, part of that was programmed into that programming that makes us who we are. And then the body being knit together and the soul and the personality and all that knit together so that you could do and have abilities that you would have. Now, it doesn't take long to look around and say, she has abilities I don't have, and he has abilities I don't have, and I have some abilities you don't have. And it is a vast spectrum of strengths that are built in and plugged into different people. That's why, as a church, we work better as a community. And sometimes I just look at some of the folks in our church and I think, wow, look at what they can do, and I can't even come close in that category. But our strengths, the things that God has built in us that work, that function, that we have an aptitude toward, those are gifts from God. Those are things that are for His glory. And find out what those strengths are, and frankly, play to those strengths. You remember the movie Rudy? Maybe you saw that film. But basically, this is my second Notre Dame illustration in 2 weeks. This is a little strange, but the thing, he wanted to play, but all I could do was be on the practice squad because he wasn't good enough to make the team on the football team at Notre Dame. And of course, it's sort of this underdog story, and he gets beat up on the practice field all the time. And finally, the last game of his senior year, they put him in for like one or two plays just to give him a chance to play the game. And forgive me if that's your favorite film, all right? I'm just thinking the kid just was no good at football. He should have gone and done something else. He just got beat up again and again and again. You know, sometimes we just need to figure out what we're good at and do that. And what we're bad at, let someone else take care of that. It's okay. We don't have to do everything, be everything. So find your strengths and use them for God's glory. Our days are for Him. Our abilities are for Him. Our talents for Him. And what a wonderful thing this is, that God has touched us with the divine so that we can then do something back that's pleasing to God through our strengths. You may be thinking at this point, well, what about those things that are part of me that are not strengths or weaknesses? Or what about those things that are liabilities? Or what about those disabilities that I have or many of us face? What about the person that has an enormous amount of disabilities and struggles in life? Did God make some sort of cosmic mistake? Or is that somehow connected to this fearfully and wonderfully made? Great question. I will just warn you in advance. I don't think I can answer all of our questions on the subject because it is deep and mysterious. I will point you to one passage of Scripture, however. Exodus chapter 4. God, in chapter 3 and 4, Exodus chapter 3 and 4, God is having a meeting with Moses at the burning bush. You know that story very well. And basically, Moses is told by God, you're going to go back to Egypt and you're going to be the deliverer, lead my people out of the bondage of Egypt and take them back to the promised land. And one of the objections in chapter 4 that Moses raised is I always thought he raised his hand. I don't know if he did. I have a question. Lord, I am slow of speech. How am I going to be a spokesmute? Talking is not my strength. And God makes this wonderful statement. Who made man's mouth? In other words, God's saying, I know what you can do and can't do. I know your assets and your liabilities and your disabilities. In fact, I arranged it that way for my own purposes. And then he goes on and saying, who made man's mouth? And who made the seeing and the blind and so forth? And he, at least in an oblique way, touches this fact that not everybody are born by our perception as perfect and physically whole and capable. Somehow, we need to see our weaknesses are also for His glory. And maybe we will never understand it. What about the mother who loses a child before that child ever sees the light of day? And the parents that deal with that and the grief of that. I don't know as I can answer why those things happen, except to say that we fall back on this, that that child conceived is going to exist forever. And we believe on a tentative faith that when that child dies, even pre-birth, is just taken right into the arms of God. I know that doesn't take all the pain away or all the grief. Or what about the parents that have a severely handicapped child? They have to deal with the weight of that. Somehow, God redeems even the weakness for His glory.
We are all looking for a place to feel at home. Pastor Jesse Wagoner and the congregation of Mount Calvary Baptist are ready to welcome you. Because when you're here, you're home. With their warm, welcoming environment, you'll feel right at home as you grow together in Christ. Sunday services are at 9 and 11 a.m. and evening service starts at 6 p.m. Mount Calvary is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston at the Westmoreland exit, half mile north of the I-77 and 64 split. For more info, visit calvarywv.com.
And ultimately, if we could just broaden this out, our existence is for His glory. It's we're here for Him. We fulfill His purpose. Now, we talked about we need to see the miraculous in you and in others. I'm going to put the spotlight on that for just a moment, if you will allow me. You know, we evaluate people's value and worth oftentimes, if we're very honest with ourselves, about how and what they can do for us. If someone is nice and they're friendly and they have a nice smile and they greet me and, you know, we like that. Oh, that's a wonderful person. Someone that's grumpy and nasty and, you know, doesn't treat you very well, we have a different opinion of those folks. Now, you also understand that there's a great capacity in the humankind to have variableness between the grumpy and the nice, okay? I mean, we can go from nice to grumpy in under 6 seconds usually. I mean, we can get there fast, all right? And hopefully vice versa. But oftentimes this will help us in our interpersonal relationships. As we look at other people, we should not evaluate their value based on what they can do, what they can't do, what they will do, what they won't do, what they should do or shouldn't do, or what they will do or will do for us. But just remember, every person you and I see is a wondrous product of God's creation. Even the person who rejects Christ, even the person who is sinful, there's a part of them, the real them, which is significant because they are a product of God's creation. And we should have love and compassion and see that person that's irritating, even that person that's difficult, even that person that's challenging, that person has been manufactured by God. Now, maybe all we see is the mark and the damage of sin and the poor choices and the sinful rebellion that's going on and living with other people. Sometimes we just feel like we're the pinball in the machine and we're just been battered around by Satan and this world and all of its corruption. And we're damaged goods because of it. But look beyond that. Come back to the truth and say along with this psalmist, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. I got this. I hope you have it well. May God help us to look at ourselves differently. We're fearfully made. May God help us to look at ourselves and others differently. We are wondrously made. Let's talk about a couple items of praise. Because remember, he says, I will praise you. First of all, do that with your mind. Engage your mind in praise. Have you noticed our brains are sort of like, listen to the whole sentence, all right? Our brains are sort of like a vacuum. And I don't mean that we have empty minds. But our brains are like a vacuum. It always fills up with something. There's always something that just fills up this space, our thinking. Now, we can fill that space with just the routine and ordinary, and sometimes we need to do that, okay? This is my job. This is my task. Okay, fill it up with that. But oftentimes, we have this space where we have some choice. And there's nothing wrong with filling it up with entertainment and that sort of thing, but we live in a world where we can instantly plug in everything into that empty space. We can get our earbuds gone. We can do it. You know, we got the whole world in our smartphone, and we can click away and tap away at that. We have all kinds of entertainment, and it doesn't mean that we need to be entertainment free. But allow somewhere in there to use that mind to process things that are praiseworthy to God. I would encourage you. We do this often. And maybe here at the beginning of a new year would be a good time to do so, to remind ourselves that we need to be alone with God at least daily. Make sure that we consistently spend some time in His Word. We make it painfully easy for you. If you have our church app, there's a daily devotion you can connect there. If you're a paper person, every quarter we provide these little devotional books, the Daily Bread. There's all sorts of other opportunities. Nothing else, just get your Bible and just read some Psalms and praise God with them. Fill your mind with praise. Use your mind to praise Him as you realize that you are fearfully and you're wonderfully made. Secondly, praise Him with what you can do by serving others. Use those hands of yours for His glory. Just do what you can to serve. Maybe it's to make that meal. Maybe it's just to offer that touch or that encouragement, to point the way, to teach the way, to serve, to be there. Whatever we can, that's a way to just praise God with your work, your gifts, and your efforts. What a great and mighty concept to realize that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The response is to praise Him. If you go down to the last two verses of Psalm 139, you have one more little sample of praise that I want you to hear ring in your ears. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Well, that's what the whole psalm is about, so it's sort of summary. Lord, you know everything. You're everywhere. Take a good look in here. And it says in the next verse, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties." Did you bring any of those with you this morning? I suspect if we all dug deep enough, we could find one or two that might be lurking around there. He says, Lord, dig those out. Pull those out. Help me understand. Help me to have trust and faith. And see if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, if there's anything in here that needs to be confessed and forsaken, help me just to deal with that. Make me clean before you. And Lord, from this point forward, going forward in life, and lead me in the way everlasting. This hymn of praise that He has given in this wonderful psalm that we've just taken a little extract from was the determined pattern of David's life, and I hope it's ours as well. Will you just commit with me here early in this new year to establish a pattern of praising God? And today would be a great day to start.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.